went to the Philly ball game yesterday, and we were passing out tracks. And cut a few on the side. Not many were stopping, so I was walking with quite a few of them. And they let me walk with them and talk with them almost down to the gate, you know. So that worked out great. Came in Friday, and we were at the mall praying, coming in, mall witnessing, and Friday night praying from 9 to midnight, and then Saturday we was able to witness here, pick up Edmondo, or whatever his name is, from Center City, and we came to witness here for a while, and we went to witness on 69th Street, and then we ended up at the Philly game witnessing, and then praying in between. Boy, that's almost like Acts, like what we read, you know, and I'm so thankful that, you know, to be here, to be involved and in spiritual activities. You know, what are we going to do? Eat more dinners and more lunches and more food and call it Christ? Spirituality? They didn't do that at Acts. They prayed. They were filled with power. They went out and God added to the church daily. And I'm convinced, you know, through the labors of last night, 69th Street, we had a young Jewish kid, he was like a Christian Jew, and he was going to the Christian church, disgruntled with it, and man, had question after question, and after about 15-20 minutes, he's like, works don't save you, what must I do? And he's calling on the Lord to save him, and his name was Aaron, and you know, so man, that was so exciting. So I wanted out to see him here someday, and him being out witnessing too. So it's been a good two or three days. I've only been here a day and a half. It seems like I've been here a week, but it's just like great to labor. But not many. Not many. You know, it's not a American Christianity. It's Christianity according to the Bible. You know, American Christianity, fun, food, you know, pleasures, and try to mix Jesus in. You know, it's just not. We, when we pray at the house a couple times a week, we pray for the countries. And 2 weeks ago, we had a fellow from Ethiopia testify. And he's like evangelical, ex-Orthodox, on fire for Christ, preaching grace. And he says that in the church he went in Ethiopia, they had to go down to the Somalian border and witness. And if you couldn't do that, well, then you just don't come to church here. This is what we do. We pray and go. And he says he's seen two of his friends killed right on the border for the gospel of Christ. And they keep going. So we're praying, and he's praying for Somalia. And at the end he says, I says, so what's your vision? He says, well, as soon as I graduate my medical school, I'm going back to Somalia. They'll probably kill you. He's like, yeah, so? Like, I'll join my friends, you know. They already went before me. I mean, you know, where do you find that in American church? You almost got to come out of it to have the life of Christ rather than the social life. You know, so that's what the book says. So, oh, may God raise up laborers to, you know, to follow Christ. And through the prayer for the nations now, son Bob, and you know, we only get six or seven people there. He wants to go to China in September, so keep him in prayer. That's his vision, you know. And now we have two other guys, Adrian. I don't know if you guys met Adrian, and there's another labor with us, Chad, and they got a vision to go to Uganda in this year, November. And we got a Ugandan pastor that was in Pittsburgh. And when he came to the prayer for the nations, he says, I've been around the country. I ain't never found another church that prays for the nations. And we ain't much of one. We just meet in the house, and 10 of us, and we just pray for the nations. And he came. So 2 weeks ago, he sent a letter and says, we're having drought. We need food. And he says, and our buildings are falling down. Pray for us. They never say, help us with money. It's always pray for us. It's always the Lord first. So when I picked up the letter a week before that, my brother in Kenosha, I told him, man, we have an African, and we send, you know, what we collect to him. And he says, well, that's great. Can I help? It's like a little kid. I'm like, I don't know if I'll let you, you know. And I says, of course, you know. So with this letter, he sends a check to send there for $5,000. And based on their yearly income, which is like $130 a year, it's like $330,000 in Uganda. So we sent the check to them, and it was like, ah, Lord, thank you. You know, so I get so fired up when I read Acts and see how God, the Holy Spirit's moving, and it's so good for me to come to Philadelphia. And not many, but I don't think many are going to come. Not many want that life of praying and the life of, you know, Christ constantly with us, communion with the Father and the Son, and the kingdom of Christ first. Not the kingdom of my family, the kingdom of my job, the kingdom of Christ first. So, praise the Lord. And just glad to be here, so greetings from Pittsburgh again. And I'm going to talk on about ears to hear. So turn to Matthew chapter 13. Okay. Ears to hear. So Mark was just reading and talking about the Lord's sufferings and His cross. So when I didn't have spiritual ears to hear, how did I hear the suffering of the cross? How did I view it? And I used to go to what's called Stations of the Cross as a Catholic on my own as a teenager to watch the suffering and dying of Christ. Now, when I viewed it with natural ears and natural sight, I seen a good man and the best man dying for his cause. And what was his cause? To feed poor people? That bring peace on this earth? And look at it, the world's killing them. So what must I do? I must imitate Christ for my cause to be good and bring peace. And maybe by doing these things, I'll get to heaven. Why? My eyes ain't open, my ears ain't open, and I don't hear he's suffering and dying for sin. Oh, I hear the words, but I don't hear them. Why? I don't have spiritual ears. God didn't give it to me. So all I see is a great figure, probably the best man that ever lived, dying for his cause, not dying for my cause. Didn't see it. Didn't hear it. Hear the words. Hear them read. But guess what? Didn't hear them in my spirit. Why? Didn't have spiritual ears. So what ears do you and I hear with? Spiritual ears or just natural ears? Think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 6, these things are spirit and they're life. It's the Spirit who quickens, who gives life. So the Spirit must quicken our hearing. You know? So when I start to read the Scriptures and start to see it, myself, spiritually, is dead. Spiritually, all my imitations of Christ, all my bringing peace and goodwill to man, was all selfish. And it was all self-righteousness. Then I didn't know where to turn. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting to hear, He became sin. He died for sinners. And I heard those words my whole life, but I never heard that He did it for me. Oh, and then I was starting to hear. And hallelujah for the day that the case was closed, and I knew for me, He had suffered and died. And my sin debt was paid. My guilt, my shame, my judgment went to Christ. And His righteousness came to me. And I'm a new creature in Christ. I got ears to hear. And how many on that street will say, I believe He died for my sins. I says, are you still sinning? They say, yeah. Who's going to pay for your sin? 9 out of 10 that say they're saved says, I'll pay. You ain't heard yet. You just haven't heard. God hasn't given you spiritual ears to hear. Because this is the most important thing in the whole world. This is God. We sang that song on creation. This is God, the Creator, with the Father. All things are created by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He contracts to a little span, like a little piece of dust, like Mark was talking, like one of us. Now, you can't see that until you get spiritual eyes. Does the Scripture say it? It says it. But if you ain't got the Spirit, you can't hear it. All you hear is natural. And you hear, hey, I got to do what I got to do after this. I got to take care of business today. I got to do my same old thing. I ain't got to search the Scriptures. These things don't really interest me. You know. And maybe He'll give you spiritual ears today. And if he gives you spiritual heirs, wow, I got to go home and look this up. I got to think about this. I got to meditate on this. And thank the Lord for the Bible reading and all that too. Like Mark says, meditating. But you could do all that and then just one day just drop out of the whole thing. Because Christ says something hard, too hard for you, and you drop out. Just in John 6 it says, and he spoke many hard things, and for the hard sayings, many of the disciples went back and followed him no more. What's he going to say hard to you? Unless you hate mother, father, sisters, and brothers in your own life, you can't be my disciple. Lord, that's hard to hear, but give me hearing, Lord. Give me understanding. Lord, you're a good shepherd. You're a gentle shepherd. You lead me. I don't understand that. Give me ears to hear it, Lord. I'm waiting on you. And then little by little, you know, Matthew says, unless you love me more than you love them. Oh, I see what you're saying, Lord. You're number one. Thank you, Lord. I knew you were gentle. I knew you were good. You know? So, some hear, some don't. I think Mark was reading the scripture in Acts, too, where he says, you know, they heard and they're like, away with them. And I was just reading it coming in one scripture in Acts. In Acts 2, Peter preaches, and it says they were cut to the heart. And when they were cut to the heart, they said, men and brothers, what must we do to be saved? Now, Stephen's preaching, and they're cut to the heart, and they say, pick up stones and stone them. Why? They were cut to the heart, and they were only cut naturally, not spiritually. Didn't hear. The ones in Acts 2, probably the 3,000 that were crucifying them, are there saying, what must we do to be saved? How can that happen? Spiritual ears. So how do you and I hear? Spiritual ears or natural ears? So that's kind of the setup for Matthew chapter 13. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses there. So Matthew 13, follow along here. Okay, the same went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What seed are you? What seed am I? Where did the seed fall? Now, for a long time, it fell on that barren and fell on that, and I don't want trials and tribulations. I want things to run smooth, you know. But then when God does the work, when God gives you spiritual ears, all, then it falls on good ground. I remember a fellow up in Pensacola, he heard and heard for years, and goes, I just don't get it. And he says, my heart is wicked and deceitful. I ain't got a good heart. And he start praying, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, give me a good heart. And he says, one day, he heard the gospel, and he's like, it took root. You know, and after it took root, he was in a naval base in Pensacola there. He says, wow, the very next day, I was starting to witness for Christ. Yeah. Why? It was bearing fruit. What was? The seed that God put in there and the good heart that God put on in there, it was bearing fruit. And finally, God gave him a good heart that he could hear. You know, so what do you see? Just the natural things in life? Or are you seeing the spiritual kingdom? The kingdom of God. The kingdom that Christ has preordained from the foundations of the earth to come down to earth and suffer and die. He's preordained to be born in Bethlehem. Why? These things are written. They're fulfilled. This is God's word. What other book in the world tells the future and it comes to pass exactly the way it says? Fulfilled prophecy. No other book touches it. Why? They dare not do a prophecy because then the people say it didn't happen. You're a false prophet. But over and over and over again, you know, the scriptures are fulfilled. And Christ is, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. David saw it. I just seen that scripture in 31:22. David saw what? The resurrection. It says David's seen it. And he prophesied. He won't see corruption. You know, in Psalm 22, if you go back there too, what did he say? David will be pierced through his hands and his feet. Mark was saying physically, like the Lord used the Romans to invent crucifixion, but crucifixion was invented in eternity past. Why? Because in Psalm 22, he must be pierced through his hands and his feet. It's going to happen. This is God's ordained plan. Christ is coming. He did come. He became man, Jesus. He's the Lord. He's fulfilled the prophecies. You need evidence? Go to the prophecies. They're fulfilled. But guess what? You could see it naturally, read it naturally, but unless you get spiritual ears, you'll still be lost. How do you get spiritual ears? Ask God for them. Ask Him. How do you get a good heart? Ask God for it. Maybe He'll give it to you. He saves some. Okay, so there again, that seed falling. Now look at verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, "Why do you speak to us in parables?" And he answered and said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Well, who's to them? The great multitudes. It's given to the 12 right there, and of course one don't understand it. Judas, all along, he's walking by sight. He ain't got spiritual ears. And remember, he was the money keeper too, and many do it for the money. So it says it isn't given to them. So if we get spiritual heirs, it's been given to us. What did we do to deserve it? Nothing. It's grace. It's God's. God says in 15:16 of John, he said, "You didn't choose me, I've chosen you." And same way with the 12. They're like questioning these parables. They don't understand. He says, "Look, boys, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, it ain't given." Why not? Because this is the way God planned it. This is God's word. This is God's plan. Guess what? The natural man don't like it. I want my way. I want my plan for life. I don't want his. Well, pray he gives you spiritual ears to hear. He gives you spiritual ears, and then spiritual life follows it. And there's nothing like Christ and knowing him. So, whatever he gives it, he gives it. Look at verse 12. "For whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, you shall not perceive." Real quick testimony, I was in McDonald's in Pittsburgh, and one fellow seemed like he's really at the end of himself, calling on the Lord. Oh, it was great. So took him in McDonald's, we was having a little lunch there, and the girl's sitting beside us, and she says, "Can I listen to your conversation?" We says, "Sure." So she came in, and she says, "You know what, I just don't understand the Bible when I read it." He says, "All right," and I'm just sitting there to him, I don't still think, but he says, "Let's pray for God to give you understanding." I'm like, oh, there's me with all my intelligence and all my Bible verses, and this poor kid just saying God's got to save him. He's saying, "No, God can give you understanding. Let's pray." He holds out his hands like this. She goes, "This is McDonald's." He says, "That's all right. God knows." And she holds his hand and says, "Oh, God, I know you created everything. Give her understanding." And after he was done, I says, "And I pray he gives you understanding too, young fella. You need to be born again." And it was so great. And afterwards, the girl seemed to understand the Bible somewhat. You know, and I was just rejoicing. So I might have a Bible study with him over at the CCAC school. You know, he goes there, Pat, and he says, come over sometime. And he lives in a commons over there, too. So that's where all the artists and the kids used to live. So I pray for that place, by grace. Okay, so verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed," verse 16, "are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and none with joy receives it, yet hath no root in himself, and he goes for a while, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. And I've been in a few churches in as an evangelist, and it seems when the persecution came, the message went. Why? They just couldn't stand the persecution. It's like they think you're not loving and kind. No, you're loving him in the truth. They just can't hear. They must persecute you. And we had one guy screaming and yelling at us yesterday on the steps at 69th Street. And it was like, I was kind of feeling the effect of it. But it was like, good, we need a little persecution down here, you know. So it was only a little persecution. In verse 22, he also that receives seeds among the thorn is he that hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Come on, that's 75% of American Christianity. You know, okay, God's cleaned up the drugs, he's cleaned up the alcohol, he's made you faithful to your wife, you raise your kids right, and what overtakes you? Riches, and they choke the word. All of a sudden, you got your act together, you can work 10 hours, you know how to work with people, you know how to say the right word, and your business starts prospering, you make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it chokes the word. Deceitfulness or riches. And why? That's what Christ says. That's what's going to happen. And it happens. Pastor after pastor, I knew. Even when I was up in Bible school. Bob, you got a gift of evangelism. Let's make $1 million with it. Look it. You got the wrong idea. This is God. It ain't mine. Whatever I got is God's. It's spiritual. It ain't mine. Use it to make it no $1 million. I want $1 million souls. And almost every one of those pastors are gone. Gone back to the world. Lost their marriages. Gone. What do I do? Pray for them. Lord, give them repentance. Give them a new heart, Lord. They never had it. Remember, talked to one pastor, best Bible teacher I had. And after 3 years, he did well. Then he says, follow your heart, not the Bible. He left. 6 months later, I went to see him. And I'm talking to him, and he says, who knows that this is true? I says, I know. How do you know? I says, I know Christ. I know he died for me. I know he's risen. I know he's my Lord. I know he's done the deliverance, not me. And he looked at me and he says, you know what? I've been the big teacher. A lot of people, he says, I don't know many. Why? He knew the business. He knew why most were in it. To get something out of it. No, we get Christ. We get the life of God. We get spiritual ears to hear. We're children of God. Our home is heaven forever. We'll be with the Lord forever. Does that excite you? If not, you just ain't got spiritual ears. You need a hear. And only he can give you the ears. Okay? So the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, they choke the word. I remember listening to Richard Wurmbrand preach one time, and he says he was in communist, suffering for Christianity in communist jails, and many pastors with him. And he says, and when they let them all out and the communists ended, many of them came to America. And then when he started doing his ministry work, and he went back to see a lot of them, and he says, and they were all going the way of the world. They all left the word, left teaching the Bible, because now they could get riches. But persecution, suffering, they were able to do that. But when the riches came, he says, he didn't know one that was continuing on in the scriptures in Christ. They couldn't pass the prosperity test. Why? Didn't have spiritual ears. Just because you suffer, that doesn't make you any more righteous. Our righteousness is the suffering of Christ. You know? So, it's him who done the suffering. I mean, he put an end to it all. He finished it all. Okay, so verse 23, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. Jeez, look at just that. Took the word. Comes unfruitful. Just think of so many people I know and walk with Christ. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, and which also bearing fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. They heard. A few testimonies from the word on some hearing the word, Let's go to John chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 3. This is John the Baptist on hearing Christ. John 3, verse 26. Okay, John 3, 26. And they came unto John, and he said unto them, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men are coming to him. Now John answered and says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You want spiritual ears, spiritual life? Ask God, Lord, give it to me. Put a heart in me to receive it. He can do that. In verse 28, you yourselves bear me witness that I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Wow. He's just hearing Christ. Just him to hear Christ is the friend of the bridegroom. And, of course, when he dies, he's in eternity. He's with Christ. We're married to Christ forever. We all are. But his joy is fulfilled just in hearing him. So, question. Reality check. Okay, stop. Okay, objective truth, the Word, the Bible, this is the objective truth of God. Subjective, the Holy Spirit comes. He enlightens. He applies the Word. He makes this faith real. He gives that new heart. He gives the spiritual life. He enables us. He empowers us. We're new creatures in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the spiritual man. We have spiritual ears. Now, the question is, as I was reading this, I'm like, okay, Bob, he says he heard and he greatly rejoiced. What did you hear from Christ lately that you greatly rejoiced on, Bob? What spiritual promise did he speak to you? And when I was thinking, when I wrote that, oh, Song of Solomon 4:7. Thou art all fair, my beloved. There's no spot or blemish in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That perfect robe of righteousness, you know. Married to Christ. And it's like, no spot or blemish. Blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man who the Lord has your sin covered. Well, what if I don't confess it? What do you think? It ain't paid on the cross. If you have to confess it in order to be saved, you're under a works gospel. Now, if you have the Spirit and spiritual life and you hear, will you confess it? Of course you will. The Spirit's going to lead you to that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood cleanses us. So He convicts me. Oh, Lord, yeah, that is sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the covenant. Thank you for the promises. You won't impute that sin to me. My sister dies at age 33 and cut her the scriptures, and she read them on her own then. She didn't need me anymore. Hallelujah. She had Christ. She had the promise. And her dying testimony was, God has removed my sin as far as from the east as from the west. Far as from the east. Who can lay anything to my charge? My brother, even till today, he heard those last words, and he still says, what did she mean by it? I tell him. And guess what? He has no ears to hear. And I'm praying for him. Lord, give him ears. Give him ears. Spiritual ears. To see that that was for him. Just like the thief on the cross. There's two thieves. And one, he says, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, man, when we get to see the thief. What's your testimony? Oh, the Lord spoke to me. Right there at the cross. Me. Oh, I didn't. We both railed on him. We both reviled him. You know, and at the end, he spoke to me. So, what great promise has he spoke to you lately? You know, and there's no other way. Now, he hasn't spoken nothing. All you're doing is looking at the world because you just don't have spiritual ears. You ain't got them. Ask the Lord to give them to you. I mean, these promises are sure promises. I mean, they're for all eternity, too. Christ, every promise in Jesus Christ is yes and amen. So John the Baptist, his testimony, he rejoiced greatly. Paul in Acts chapter 9, he's on his high horse of religion, riding. He's going to kill the church of Christ. He's breathing out threatenings. He hates Christ. And he's going to stomp out the Christians. He's going to Damascus and boom, the light shines. He falls off his horse. And the light's shining on him. He's like, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus who you're persecuting, Paul. He's done forever. He's done. What will you have me to do? He heard spiritually. You know, people say, what do I do? And then they do nothing because they don't have the Spirit. They didn't hear spiritually. And if you did hear, and if you did say you confess, you did receive, I don't know how many people I had yesterday, they say, oh, I accepted Christ. I said, that's a great work you did. Oh, well, you ain't saved by works. Well, didn't you do that work? Well, yeah, then you're saved by your works, right? What do you mean? Well, the Bible says in 1:6 of Philippians, He makes you accepted in the beloved. This is a work of God, not your work. Oh, I should believe your way. Wait a second. I don't think you have spiritual ears. You haven't heard the Master talk to you yet through this Holy Scriptures. So all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. Stephen, Acts 7:51. We've got to turn here. We'll just read one verse from Stephen. Acts 7, verse 51. Remember, he's preaching right before they stone him. This is his sermon. And he's saying to the religious guys, and remember, Paul was there approving the stoning, and I'm sure this affected him and, you know, helped knock him off his high horse. Look at Psalm 51 of Acts. It says, if you're not there, just listen. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. And I could say, that's my old life. Me who was dead in my trespasses and sin, I always resisted. Why? I wanted my way and my will. And on my terms. But when the Holy Spirit opens you up, He gives you spiritual ears, then you hear Christ and it's His terms. It ain't our terms anymore. So praise the Lord. And so that's the testimony of Stephen, Paul. And one more last one. Turn to John chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 11, finish up here. Okay. Look at verse 39. Martha and Mary just came to Jesus and say, yeah, Lord, we know you're the resurrection and life. We know you're the Son of God. And that was true. And they had spiritual ears. They were one of His. So was Lazarus. And so now he's at the tomb and, you know, they're all weeping and groaning. And in verse 39, Jesus says to him, take away the stone. He's buried in the tomb and he's got a stone in front of it like a cave. And he says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, says to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to him, didn't I say unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that you always has heard me. There's the Father. He always hears the Son. In John 17, great high priest prayer, he always hears. I know that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Bob, come forth! Lazarus, come forth! From where? Dead! So Ephesians 2:1, you who were dead in your trespasses and sin, He has quickened you. He has made you alive. He has given you spiritual heirs. Come forth. Come forth to what? Newness of life. Life in Christ. Come forth to bearing fruit for the King. Because God's going to do it now, not you. This is a work of God. Have you heard the voice of Christ through the Scriptures? Has He spoken to you? Is it life? Or is it still words on the page? It's got to become life. And so let me just finish up in prayer. Thank you, Father. Just John 6. Unless you draw people, they can't come, Father. And I pray for those here that hear the word today. And just on, as Mark just was saying, your sufferings, Christ. Your kind words, Lord. Your being innocent, Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, just move and brood. And Lord, without you, we're all dead in our trespasses and sin. You who were dead, He is made alive. He is quickened. So I pray, Lord, to be your good pleasure, Father. You will draw them and that they're lost and give spiritual ears to hear these great promises, this great word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. And Lord Jesus, you said so. Even by these words, we're saved. So thank you, Lord, for those that you have given spiritual ears. And, oh, Lord, would you give other spiritual ears here? Save their souls. In your precious name I pray, Jesus. Amen.